Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. We're joined today by NBA champion Matt Barnes and Bleacher Report's Rick Bucher. Let's start in the NBA, where the Warriors will try to bounce back tonight after dropping Game 3 in overtime to the Rockets Saturday. Golden State can take a commanding lead with a win tonight, but one guy who hasn't been in command is Steph Curry, who shot just 7-23 in Game 3 and has been struggling so far in these playoffs. With a drop of nearly 4 points in his scoring average while averaging four fewer shot attempts per game, in fact, Curry's points per game in this postseason are a career low. All right, my take on this is that as Kevin Durant's pursuit of LeBron James has amped up, he doesn't bend to the Golden State system as much as he used to. And now it's the Kevin Durant system bending to Golden State, and that's not good for Steph Curry. That's what I think is at the heart. There's just too much ISO ball, which is not Steph Curry's forte.
I disagree with that. If you go to the latter part of the season with KD, the shots per game were going down, the assists were going up. He was a facilitator. He even made notice of that after game two against the Clippers in the first series when he had to go in depth about how he's playing within the system. And even Steve Kerr had to come back after that and say, yeah, we need 20 or 30 attempts per game from you. So KD was playing within the system, but just the mismatches were too glaring for him not to take advantage of them. And I think from game three on, he's been on that tear. LeBron doesn't factor into his mindset, I think, right now. What factors in is he looks like a guy who's already departed, but wants to make sure that the narrative isn't that I left and played with one foot out the door. So what is he doing? He's giving them all the buckets. He's giving them all the MVP performances. So when he leaves, no one could ever say that he shortchanged them in that process. Oh,
I love all the sinister underlying reasons that maybe KD is just on one. Mm. I mean, ultimately, the way he's playing, and yes, if the Warriors are going to concede to that, of course they are, because what he's getting is getting it so easily that how can you turn away from that? And I think that's been the case from the very beginning. I believe that Draymond Green recruited him, understanding that as good as Steph is, we might need a little bit more. And if we can go get a guy who can get his anytime he wants without being challenged, I mean, you watch him right now. He can't even see the defensive player in his screen when he's rising up to shoot.
Right.
Steph has to work really hard to get what he gets, especially once you get to the playoffs and you can game plan for him. So I don't believe it's like KD trying to X him out or that he's basically hijacking the Warriors. I think Warriors look at him and say,
I meant nothing
go
sinister.
At it.
I meant nothing sinister. The guy's doing, he's the best player in the world right now. He's showing that. There's no sinister to it, but it just doesn't work for Steph Curry.
Kobe told me something one time when we were teammates, and I think this is a similar zone that KD is in. Kobe said he never looks at his defender. He keeps one eye on the second guy, but he's always watching that third defender because he knows that's how much attention he draws. So I think that's the zone that KD is in right now. KD knows that there's not a person on the planet that can stop him. There's probably not two people at once that can stop him. So he's in his zone. And I think with him being more aggressive, it's just the maybe two or three shots more that Steph's not getting. But at the same time, I just think, you know, Steph's not playing that bad. You know, he's had a couple bad games, but he's still averaging, what, 22, 23 points a game. You know what
efficiency,
I mean?
Efficiency, though. Shoot, 25.
He's not as efficient. You know what I mean? But
you saw the missed dunk, man.
You know, I get that.
In crunch time.
We've never seen
a wide open missed dunk in
it
crunch
happens.
Time.
You know, just like earlier in the season where Clay was in a slump and it only took one shot for him to have 60. You know what I mean? So Steph is a similar player. He's one shot away from getting hot. And if you're banking on Steph continuing to play bad for your hopes to win this series, it's not a good bet.
This is what troubles me about the assessment of Steph is that it's always at the offensive end. And it's the pure numbers.
Been terrible on defense.
No, I would disagree with that.
That last game?
He has been put on an island consistently. guys one-on-one are going to get beat. It's a matter of whether you stay beat and how hard do you make that guy work to go by you. He has done an admirable job, especially for him in this series. And when you're working that hard at the defensive end and they're constantly targeting you, that's going to affect you at the other end.
That's a great point.
Steph's also of the mindset that, look, KD's got it going on. I don't have a problem with that. So he is going to concede.
Yeah, but when you concede, I've never seen somebody concede. You concede in shot attempts, but once you shoot your shot, you're not conceding in that moment. You're trying to make your shots. He's inefficient right now. So that's not about KD. That's about Steph not playing up to his level. And unfortunately, we have a resume of Steph Curry not playing up to his level and crunch performance.
But I think this is why you have this kind of team right now, why Steph is not doing as well as he possibly can. Draymond's playing out of his mind and showing his worth. Yeah. You know, Klay is being solid. So this is the reason why you have this team. You know, KD is, like we said, on another planet. I think Rick made a great point. They're using that old Cleveland Cavaliers system where they're putting Steph in every pick and roll. And when you have to work every single possession on defense, it's definitely going to affect your legs on offense. But like I said, he's one or two shots from going for 50. And, you know, me personally being a former teammate and watching their games now, I'm not worried about Steph. Like I said, if you're banking on Steph playing bad for you guys to win this series, you don't have a shot.
Okay, let me ask this question, though, that we didn't prepare for this one. But do you feel as confident after game three that they're going to take this series? Isn't there a little question mark in your mind coming off that game three?
I don't think so. You know, I think Steph didn't play as well as he can, and they lost a tough game in overtime. To me, the Warriors are sitting like, okay, we should have got that game. You know, game four is ours. We're going to go back and finish game five. If game four happens to be theirs, maybe it goes six, but I see the Warriors still winning this in six.
It's not a matter of this series, but my question as to whether they're going to win it all continues to go in that direction, because for every additional game they have to play, the more they're going to be worn down, the more they're going to be ready to get knocked off at the end against whoever comes out of the East.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Clippers took two games from them. We know Houston already got one. They may get one more, two more. It's a chunk.
I don't buy it, but it could happen.
The chunk of flesh that you're losing in the process of advancing every level. I will say this. Chris Paul has not been Chris Paul by the numbers, by the contract, by the status of who he is. If this can turn Chris Paul on, we're talking about Steph Curry on the other side, Chris Paul's not giving them buckets. Chris Paul's not giving them assertiveness. If he can be Chris Paul, then you got you a series.
Now you're talking about two guys, Chris Paul and Steph Curry, that are playing with two of the best isolation players in NBA history, and neither one of them are producing. Again, I don't think this is sinister. I think it's a ramification that you can – Kevin Durant could just walk the ball up court and get any shot he wants. Yeah. That's not the system that Steph.
Yeah, it's funny that you should know this from Kobe, and everyone used to call it Kobe watching. Like you get on the court and
he's watching because he's so talented, so good.
And his isolation would take you out of your flow and your fluidity, and next thing you know, you haven't made the cut that you should have made. Mm-hmm. You haven't put yourself in position to succeed. Maybe we're seeing some of that effect.
But I'm saying if Steph hit two or three more shots each game, we're not having this conversation. I just think this is the road to a three-peat. It's never going to be easy. They're going to get pushed. Yeah, yeah. You know, they're going to continue. You know, everyone is shooting for them. And like we talked off camera, is this their last dance? You know what I mean? Yeah. If it is, it's not going to be easy. You know what I mean? So we're going to have to wait and see. The one thing I don't like about the Warriors is their bench isn't as strong as it's been 100%. In the past. And their starting five now is going to take a lot of minutes. So can we consistently count on two or three guys coming off the bench or maybe two guys to give them minutes, points, and defensive efficiency they need to carry throughout the playoffs?
They're already starting Andre Iguodala or Sean Livingston, and that leaves your bench depleted. Those guys are playing long, hard minutes. That's why I think it's going to be a matter of attrition, and it's going to catch up.
I want to throw one more curveball. I watched the Denver-Portland game. Was that last night? Mm-hmm. I was sick. Yeah. I can't remember. All I did was watch TV.
Got the hair fresh, though. You weren't that sick.
But I watched Denver last night, and I was just like, this is the system that brings out the best in Steph Curry. If he were playing in this Denver system with all the ball movement and man movement, that's when
he's at his best. Playing point center? point center?
They just share the ball and move the ball a lot better. That it's like watching two different NBAs, watching Portland and Denver versus Houston.
But at the same time, everyone took their system from Golden State.
Yes.
This ball movement, cutting, passing, utilizing all five options is what Golden State is known for. And I think now
they're not doing it now.
No, it's true.
I understand where you're coming from.
They have the one thing that nobody else has. They have KD. You're telling me he can get his shot anytime. Yeah. Are you telling me that, that's really nice, but we're going to play team ball and we're going to move it around? Ultimately, not even the Lakers in their heyday with Kobe or Michael would do that.
There's other ways, though, to get Kevin Durant. I would like to see him occasionally just post up from 12 feet, draw a double team. There's other ways.
They play team ball against the Clippers, and they got a split. At home. Now, we know one of those was just a miracle game, but still, they were saying, we're playing team ball. Then they said, let's just play the way that we can win this series.
I think we've been poking at KD for so long. Prove you're the best. Do this, do that. Now he's finally doing it. You know, so now we're saying he's not passing enough, and now Steph's not getting shots. Like I said, Steph is a shot or two for going away from 50, and if he makes two or three more shots each game, we're not even having this conversation. So to me,
can't wait till tomorrow.
It's more of Steph just having a couple rough games than anything else.
All right, so we know Matt's opinion. He's not remotely worried about Steph Curry moving forward. Are you, Marcellus?
Absolutely. Best indicator of future behavior is past behavior, and we've seen Steph Curry, a pure finesse player. When you start to get physical with him, he starts to check his physical gauges. And what happens then? Check engine light comes on. We saw it a couple years ago at Houston with the slip. People saying he was hurt in the finals against Cleveland. Mm. People say he wasn't hurt. All I know is I saw a dude during a timeout try to dunk, which told me, you're not hurt. And then LeBron went up there, smacked it away, and looked at him like, bro, what the hell are you trying to do? I'm number one on this planet. So we gave him a pass for that one. Now we're here again after every missed shot. Watch Steph. Grabbing them fingers, that tape, looking at it. Ankles are already injured coming into the series. I was this type of player, too. Before every game, I just checked my gauges. And if one of them was just a little off, I'm like, I'm taking notice of that. And some guys could just put that to the side, compartmentalize, and just go out there with the flow. But Steph Curry, a pure finesse player, he looks affected. And I think we have reason to be concerned.
I agree. I just believe it's the physical problems that he's having right now. The dislocated finger, even if it's on his offhand, he needs to be able to cross over and be able to handle to get everything that he gets. The ankle, he's obviously had those issues. All that's going to take away from a guy who's 6'2", 190, playing against long athletic guys. He needs to have everything working, and right now it's not.
You know what's not smart? Job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the role you posted, or send you a mile-high stack of resumes to sort through. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/speak to hire the right person. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, Speak for Yourself listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/speak. If you love this show, show your support to it and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/SPEAK. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Time now for a big story. Let's move to LeBron James, whose first season with the Lakers was nothing short of a disaster. Marred by injuries, locker room drama, and no playoffs, capped off with Magic Johnson's abrupt resignation as the team president. Well, now LeBron has finally addressed Magic's decision, explaining that he was shocked on the latest episode of his own show, The Shop.
My right hand comes to me and say, Magic just stepped down. And I'm like, man, get the out of my face, you. I go check my phone, I look at it, it happened. Personally for me, I came here to be a part of the Lakers organization, having a conversation with Magic. So it was just weird for him to just be like, I'm out of here. And not even have no like, hey, Bron, kiss my, I'm gone. It wasn't even that.
All right, so I'm gonna show my journalist stripes here into why I don't like this. Again, this is the first time he's talking about Magic since he left. There's no media there to probe him, question him, get context. He's doing it in his little safe space that he's created where no one's going to question anything. And so it's all scripted. We worked on this show, started six this morning.
This paper's right here.
Right here, yeah.
So notes.
I just don't believe it's a television show he put on. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm buying it. To be honest with you, I think LeBron's happy Magic's gone. I don't think he ever liked Magic. I don't think he ever respected Magic. I think he's happy.
You had me in the beginning, but damn, at the end, never liked Magic. He's the only person from the Lakers he invited to his home.
That's a lot.
No one else from the brass was invited.
Keep your enemies close.
Good point. I will say this. I'm not with LeBron in terms of him being upset or surprised. I think LeBron James right now is just trying to change the narrative. Oh, finally, I'm not the one that's just dipping on everybody as he did in Cleveland the first time, or as he did with Dwayne Wade on the private jet with him, Pat Riley calling him, not answering. Like, LeBron finally gets to flip that narrative. It's like, somebody else dipped on me, and let's just run with this. Here's the thing. If you're LeBron James, you got to realize that Magic Johnson wouldn't do something like this unless Magic Johnson was preempted to do something like this. Like, to go to that magnitude where he's just going to dip on everything, if I'm LeBron, I find that out privately, and then I don't have this moment on my show because I knew that Magic was saying, I'm protecting others while I take the hits for this organization. So being upset, being surprised, like you said, I just felt that that was a little disingenuous and scripted.
I think I love it, 100%. I think so much, you know, being in that seat before, not to the extent, but I'm just saying as an athlete, we insinuate so much and we try to guess so much and we try to figure out and put pieces together. He's telling you what happened. He doesn't need the media to question him. He's telling you how that particular situation went down. And I think, I wouldn't say upset, I would say surprised more than anything, because I know us growing up, we looked up to Magic on and off the court.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure he was an integral part of getting LeBron to this team. And then once the ship has sunk, Magic jumps off, the captain saves himself and leaves everyone else to sink. So I think, and I understand where Magic came from, like you said, it had to be something serious for him to do this, but still at the same time, I think he acted off emotion. I think he was hurt with all the backstabbing and the talk going on behind his back. Right. And I think if he could do it over again, he would pull LeBron to the side like, hey, check this out. This is what we're going to do, because, you know, they were at his house the week before and he said he had no idea that this was coming. You know what I mean? So I think Magic, if he had it over to do again, he would pull LeBron to the side like, this is what's going on here. I don't appreciate it. You know, I'm a lifetime Laker. They've pretty much chosen this guy over me, and this is why I'm leaving. I think Magic, if he had a chance to do it again, he would have. So LeBron has every right to, first of all, come out and finally say what happened, because, like I said, it takes the guesswork out of it. And to me, it's not, I don't agree with you either. I think he does like Magic. He does respect Magic. And this is just an unfortunate situation that happened out of emotion.
Can somebody tell me why it's in a barbershop, that barbershop? Because nobody's getting their hair cut.
Not for real.
Can we get him a comfortable seat? His knees are up in his chest. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Bad TV show, but anyway, go ahead.
And you are right 100% that I believe that that's scripted. And I agree with you in that he was surprised. It's the aftermath. I don't know that he's upset at all that Magic is gone.
I'd say surprised.
And it happened right before a game. But there's so many elements about this that make it disingenuous. However he feels about Magic.
Happy.
He heard about this right before the game because he was stretching. Wait a minute. You're not playing.
Yeah.
You weren't playing at this point. What? You were in a yoga class? I mean, what was... What's going on?
Finally, well, student athlete.
There are way too many elements here, but I believe that don't make a whole lot of sense when you stop and you look at it. As far as his reaction, it seems to be an overreaction.
Why wouldn't it make more sense for LeBron to have this scripted reaction on the shop? Because LeBron is like, oh, Magic didn't call me, because Magic knows that we ain't on the same team, same page anyway. Yeah. Again, if they were close and they were working in concert, Magic would have pulled LeBron to the side and given him a
hit. You trying to imply that LeBron's on them emails too?
No, I'm trying to imply. I think LeBron knew coming here that Magic was a weak leader and capable of quitting. Promise you that. And I don't think he's remotely shocked or anything. That's a war of attrition. They won with Magic. Magic's been dusted. Now I'm finna bring Tyronn Lue in here, and I'm gonna have more control over this organization. LeBron makes no secret. His favorite movie is The Godfather 2. He thinks of himself as Michael Corleone and making chess moves and blah. Magic's just another guy that got dusted, and he played the game effectively. And I'm not taking a dump on LeBron. I'm actually applauding. This dude, in terms of his basketball career, plots things out. Mm. And he let me come in here and play the game with Magic. He's going to be weak. He'll quit. Because anybody that knows Magic, if it's not on the basketball court, Magic will quit. He's not into that kind of hard work. And now LeBron's right where he wants to do, where he wants to be, with more control over this organization.
Like I said, I just love it from a standpoint of tell our stories. Too often, everyone else is telling our stories of what they think happened, or my friend told me this, or a source told me this. LeBron told you what happened. Like I said, is he mad? I don't know. I don't think so. Is he disappointed? I don't think. I think he was surprised on how it went down, because Magic didn't tell anybody. This surprised everybody. So like I said, I think it was a move that Magic made out of emotion. You know, like I said, from everything that's happened with the emails to
Matt,
the backstabbing.
Let me ask you this, just as a man, You know we lie, right?
Yeah.
You know, we lie.
Right.
Men, we lie.
Everyone lies.
Yeah. And so when we get to tell our own story,
right,
how much yeast do we generally add?
Probably
put it on it last night. Probably 25 minutes. Oh, God. My wife was just like, oh. But Lord,
he also knew this would be a good
story. Really went 45
you know,
seconds.
Strategically, he knew this would be a good, you know, story for his show, to bring eyes to his show, to have the whole Smash World talking
about
it.
Here's the problem. You have to believe it. That's the problem. For me, is looking at it, it's not believable. His response, I'm not buying it. Like, honestly, I feel like he's being faux upset about this. Can you believe, I don't think he really cares that much that Magic is gone.
And I agree. That's why I said, I think the way it went down, he was surprised. I think regardless, they got Ty Lue now, they got to move forward, they got to hope that a free agent wants to come join this mess. I wouldn't say he was sad or cried, or he probably went home, drank his wine, and had a normal night. You know, but like I said, I just think he was surprised on the way it went down.
That dude was fist bumping with Maverick and Rich Paul.
Well, Maverick said it. Maverick was like, "Pooh, what are we doing tonight?" Like, Maverick was like, "We out." But you know what? It doesn't add up, and this is why we think it's disingenuous.
That was Lonzo that said that, by the way.
Oh, he did?
It was Lonzo.
I'll go out, too?
About Kuzma.
Damn. Yeah. They all wanted to get it. So here's the thing. It's disingenuous because if Magic's the only guy from the Lakers that you invite to your home in your recruiting, and then Magic doesn't come to you and talk to you about it, and then you don't say anything about it publicly until this moment, and then in this moment, you don't support it by saying, well, Magic and I talked about it, and maybe now understand Magic jumped on
the
grenade.
Have they talked about it?
We didn't get that from this. I'm sure that they have, but look,
why are you sure?
Well, look,
I'm telling you, they don't like you.
I don't want to see just this.
He would have acknowledged, man, we talk like, this is Hyman Roth and Michael Corleone, man. This is Godfather 2, man.
I don't want to believe that about LeBron.
I would hope that they've had a conversation.
Come on, man, please.
At the very least, just out of respect for each other.
There is none. There is none.
And you may be right.
I'm not saying that to be dismissive or negative on LeBron. LeBron is a chess player on the basketball court and with his basketball career. He just took out the guy's queen.
You know what we're saying? It's all to Matt's point. The beauty is all we get is what LeBron's given us on his show. And we don't get it from Magic except when he tweets, hey, the truth shall come to light, when someone else says it for him. So the point of this is there's another layer to this that is not being discovered that we're not privy to knowing.
Because the media is not involved.
That's
the media
good.
Is good, man.
That's fine.
The media is good.
For one, we've been dogging LeBron, or you guys have been dogging LeBron all year. Let him control his narrative finally. You know what I mean? This is something that happened to him.
Poor
it was something between.
Blonde.
Yeah, it's whatever. But like I said, I've never seen in all my life one person get dogs.
Oh, my God.
This year.
Stop it, Matt.
I mean, some of it, he earned some of it, but he got dogged this year. So for once, let him tell his narrative, and that's what it is. If no one else speaks on it,
we've been on
this is what we got to go by.
Media's been on
his head. Everybody has. Yeah. Everybody's been on his head.
On his head?
On his
that's
head.
Real.
Y'all ever heard of Tiger Woods?
Y'all making him lose his hair, man.
Coming up.
His hair so much.
Let's move to Churchill Downs, where a rainy Kentucky Derby day ended in controversy like unlike anything in the race's 145-year history, with maximum security appearing to get the win, only to be disqualified after replays revealed the horse committed a foul in the final turn. After a 22-minute delay, the Derby win was awarded to Longshot Country House, who had finished second. I'm going to tell you this, guy. I know this is controversial. I listened to Cowherd earlier today complain. I love the decision. It was the right decision. Mm. I felt maximum security drifting out of its lane, out of its line,
affected that race. It didn't bother me that it took 15, 20 minutes for them to figure it out. They got it right, and the right horse won. This horse committed a foul. This jockey deserves the blame. I blame him, not the rules that they effectively used to disqualify the horse.
Oh, absolutely. This decision was the correct decision. I'm amazed that I'm on a show that we're going to talk longer about the race than the race itself. This is great. Let's do this. It was an egregious and intentional effort by the jockey. Let's go back to track, because a lot of us have not ridden horses, but we've all seen somebody coming around that corner in track and field. I used to run track, national champion in 400 meters. Let me tell you one thing I was taught. Not only taught, but learned through physics. When you're turning the curve, hug the curve. Hmm. Why? You're going to shorten the distance to the finish line. When do you ever go against that rule? Ah, when you're not restricted by lanes and when you're in the front and feel that whoever's behind you is coming up. So what do? In gamesmanship, sometimes against the rules, you just try to cut them off, slow them down. Hey, I'm in the front, I dictate tempo, and I also dictate laterally who's in charge. But this situation, when you start to drift outwardly, that's on purpose, and it's actually hurting you. So I was just waiting. They took 15 minutes to get to the obvious, which is disqualifying.
I love the outrage over this. I can't believe this happened. First time ever in the Kentucky Derby that this has ever happened, that we've had the winner disqualified.
Yeah.
First time ever. Are you guys telling me that this is the first time this has ever happened in the Kentucky Derby?
I think someone's got to file a complaint.
Okay.
To put this into action.
Okay. And then you have to have 7 different camera angles, and you have to have instant replay and slow-mo. This is what is killing sport. The reality is that sport is messy. It's not going what's correct. It's doing what's fair. Who was the best horse in that race? Maximum Security, and there ain't no question about it. Lead coming out of the gate. By the way, Bodie Express, they had a horse in this race that has never won a race. What is this, a raffle? Or is this the Kentucky Derby? Is this the Kentucky Derby?
Come on.
You got 20 horses out there. You got a sloppy field. You got a sloppy course.
And this a guy, sloppy jockey.
Okay, but he veers. The problem that I have is that after 15 minutes, I do have an issue. If we examine anything long enough, we're going to find violations in the sport that we can say, you weren't allowed to do that. That's what happened here. The winner did not win the race because they were disqualified. And that is a miscarriage of justice.
I like where you're headed, Rick, but I disagree. I think that they got it right. In sport, obviously, everyone competes, and the objective is to win by any means necessary. But when there's rules and parameters set in place, you're taught in sport to toe the line. Mm-hmm. Now, it's up to the rules and the officials to do their job. If you toe the line and cross the line,
yeah,
it's on them to call you out on it. Now, it's not on you if you toe the line and you cross the line and they don't call you out on it and they don't withdraw you from winning. It's completely on the rules, which is why rules are set in place. I didn't have a problem, honestly, with what the jockey did.
Did you?
Because he was trying to win.
Wait. Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't have a problem with what the rules committee did by implementing what they have already set in
place.
When
you were watching the race in real time.
And they're all.
Did you go, oh, did you see that?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
We had a bad
not.
Angle.
When you
I had
watched
no
it again, absolutely not.
Had a bad
we
angle.
Had a bad angle.
And can I just give you a little more of my depth of horse knowledge?
Yes,
please. Horse racing. 1968, there was a disqualification. Dancer's image, first place finisher. There's only other time it ever happened, but it was for prohibited medicine and medication.
Okay.
The only other time, but not for this reason. It was intentional. Was it intentional? Why would you ever stop hugging the curve, stop hugging the rail? Why?
There was a lot of bumping prior to that.
And he was doing the bumping.
There was a horse that came up on the inside.
True.
And they were side by side by side, and I saw a lot of jostling there. Look, I'm not going to pretend to be a horse expert or a race expert.
None of us.
Without question. But I feel, when it comes to sport in general, I've watched them all, I follow them all, I'm devoted to them all. this feels like a miscarriage where we're going to go and we're going to check the tape and we're going to look at the tape over and over. I see this all the time in the NBA, in the NFL. You've seen it with is it a catch, is it not a catch? And we lose sight of who made the play. Can we just give credit to who made the play rather than we're all going to go to our Zapruder film and we're going to break it down film by film and then we're going to determine who the winner is. It just feels wrong to me.
All right, before we go, I'd like to say a word or two about Bubba Wallace, the first full-time black NASCAR driver in the Cup Series since Wendell Scott in 1971. Bubba drives the most famous race car in the history of American motorsports. He drives the number 43 car for Richard Petty Motorsports. Bubba has more King's blood than Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Charismatic and good-looking, it's a mystery to me that Wallace and his number 43 aren't flooded with corporate sponsors. In 2018, during his debut season with Richard Petty Motorsports, Bubba finished second in the Daytona 500. So let's don't pretend the kid can't drive. Auto racing comes down to sponsorship dollars. For some reason, NASCAR's Tiger Woods and the most powerful name in motorsports, King Richard Petty, can't attract enough sponsorship dollars to be competitive. This makes no sense. Corporate America allegedly is bending over backwards in the name of diversity and inclusion. What could be more diverse and inclusive and historic than a 25-year-old black kid from Mobile, Alabama, driving Richard Petty's number 43? Maybe Bubba is too boy next door, or maybe corporate America just wants the sport of the South to die and go away. I don't. I grew up loving Cale Yarbrough, a football player slash boxer turned race car driver. I was at the Daytona 500 the day Dale Earnhardt died. Growing up in Indianapolis, everybody in my family followed the Indy 500 and open wheel racing. Auto racing is a great sport. Bubba Wallace is the kind of driver who could revitalize interest in the sport. It frustrates me that Wallace and Richard Petty Motorsports are dying financially at a time when Nike bankrolls a quarterback who hasn't played football in 3 years. Which brings me to my larger point. Corporate America will finance the resistance and other shallow attacks on our country, but it can't muster the courage to support Bubba Wallace? Really? This is sad and dangerous. Bubba Wallace and Richard Petty have put their obvious surface-level differences aside in pursuit of making the right kind of history. It's too bad corporate America won't support their effort.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Time to get antisocial. All right, Darnell Smith, our social media manager's here.
What's going on, fellas?
What you got, Darnell?
All the smoke.
Yes, sir, we're going to start off in the nation's capital, where President Trump will award Tiger Woods the Presidential Medal of Freedom to celebrate his historic Masters victory. Although the Presidential Medal of Freedom is the highest honor a civilian can receive, a lot of the championship teams have avoided visiting the White House recently. So, guys, how do you think social media will react to this?
Poorly.
yeah.
And they're going to overreact. Yeah. Look, man. Tiger has made no secret. He's friends with Trump. They've been golfing together for years, long before he was president. I wish some of these other people, Trump, you know, Trump used to be like the number one word in rap music.
Trump. I was like rolling with Trump. I'm like, right?
And so now he gets to be president. Now everybody runs away and acts like, Tiger's keeping it real here. This is probably the realest thing Tiger Woods does.
Like, yeah. Mm. I don't like my friends based on them doing stuff that I like. Right. Like, do you? And no, he only lost by 3 million votes in the popular vote. Guess what? There's 50, 60 million people walking around here talking about love me some Trump. Stand up. I mean, I don't care. Because, look, before Trump, there was Obama. And if we're going to play this card now, did we really want that card played then? I don't like Obama. I don't like your politics. Are your politics, express what you want. I'm still your friend. I'm still fool with you. I don't get this.
I'm happy for Tiger. You know, to have the accomplishment he's had after so long. We're not always going to agree what people do. You know what I mean? I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of golf. I'm a fan of what he did on the course. Do I like him meeting with Trump? I don't really care. You know, it's not going to change my opinion on who Tiger is and what he's about on the course. And like you said, I agree with you, Woodlock. Especially Black Twitter is going to react poorly to this, unfortunately. But like I said, it's, you don't have to like everything the man does. Just respect what he does on, you know, in his profession.
Right. You said it best. I personally, I don't really care who he meets with, right, when he meets with them, and how he meets with them. I enjoy Tiger Woods for what the thrills that he brings to me, and that's on the golf course.
Yeah.
You do what you do on the golf course. Your personal life is your personal life. Right. Who you engage with is who you engage with. Twitter is going to do what they always do. It's going to be trolls no matter what. Whether you're in agreement or they're in agreement or not, somebody's going to always troll you.
Yeah. Next! Yes, sir. Yeah. Moving to the NBA, where Steph Curry and the Warriors dropped game 3 to the Rockets in OT. Curry missed a dunk with under a minute left, and social media couldn't wait to roast him for it. Here's a couple of my favorites. First, you got KD on the burner phone thinking about going to New York. Then you got Steph Curry going up for the dunk in the rim saying, I'm about to end this man's whole career. You got Steph Curry comparing him to a clown for even attempting the dunk. And then even Draymond's mom jumped in on comparing regular season Steph to postseason Steph.
Oh, my.
That's my favorite one right there.
I want to ask you guys, though, do you have a problem with Draymond's mom going in on Steph?
Yes, of course. You know why? Not the joke. I mean, get your jokes off. I get it, but it's your mom, and she's in a protected space because that's your mom and you my teammate. So I can't go back at her, so right, can't you make sure she don't come at me? Because if this goes on, gloves off. Do you really want gloves off with your mama? That's why I'm saying, like, mama got
I hear you, but I don't mind this because, personally, I feel like this is on brand with who Draymond is. Like, Draymond will confront him about this, period. So why is mama going to do it, too?
I can come back at you, Draymond. We already been there. I understand. I can't come at your mama.
Exactly.
You want me coming at your mama
still,
for real?
And you still bet not. You still better not, period.
I got to chill, Greg.
Ain't no win. I mean, we're in an era where, you know, you got to realize when you do something stupid or ineffective, people are going to laugh and make fun of you. Now, with Draymond doing it's a weird situation. It's a weird kind of untapped situation. I'm sure Draymond probably saw it and looked at it like, and told it, like, Texas mom, like, mom, come on.
Come on.
But like I said, I don't think it'll be a big deal. It's not going to affect their friendship. It's not going to affect the team. But like I said, this is the world we live in now. So when you do something that's laughable, people are going to make fun of you.
Yeah. Listen, I think Draymond's mother is on brand. She has her own brand. This is what she does. And so you just got to kind of accept it. Steph Curry better have a sense of humor about himself. And if he can't handle a little joke from Draymond's mom, that's on him. And I like Steph. But his mother's right on brand. This is kind
really?
Of
your mama, daddy, somebody in your family come at me with, like, I can't come at them because of you. But if you give me green light.
My mother will be here this week.
But you got to
if she says anything crazy, you can say something crazy back there.
Hell no. You said that now.
That sounds good, but come on, man.
You said that now.
But you gotta, I kind of believe you, too.
Yeah, my mother can handle
but
her
But you got to be, like you said, you got to be able to laugh at yourself
I
at
get
the end
that.
Of the day.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I get
X. Yeah, moving over to the NFL. Where Whitlock's guy, Russell Wilson, continues to try and get cool points. Mm. First, it was the infamous We Got a Deal video.
Got a deal.
Then it was Ciara braiding his hair. And now, his most recent addition is this picture he posted on IG of him standing in front of a brand new G-Wagon. Is Russ trying too hard to be cool here?
What you mean, trying too hard? He's trying full hard. And I told you this dude doing too much. And you was like, oh, he cool in his change. Man, ain't nobody ever believing in Russell Wilson, the cool dude. Right. The coolest thing about him is that he's not cool. Right. Let's go back to the days of Carlton and Urkel. And somebody own uncool. Yeah. It's so much money and love and being right. uncool. The nerds are the rock stars,
I think he's the corny, lovable guy. And to touch on the Urkel, this is his Stephon Urkel image. You know what I mean? To me, you know, stick with who you are.
Yes.
I made a post about this the other day, not about this in particular, but be you because everyone else was already taken. Like you said, there's a lane for him to be the corny Russell Wilson, very talented quarterback that everybody loves. Don't step out of sight of that.
Man.
No, be who you are. And this right here, it doesn't fit him. Mm-mm. It doesn't fit him.
Jacket
because
don't fit him for
this ain't 02, right?
He didn't the 90s,
look,
man.
He didn't come out the gate like this. So now anything we see that is off-brand, yeah. off-script, it's going to be like, what are you doing?
He should have been in that Puffy and Mace video.
Hey!
Like, this shit.
Who got their leg up on their car? This ain't Lowrider. Like, what year is this? Who got they leg up on their car?
Look, to the side.
He has turned his public image over to his wife. True. She lays out the clothes. She's setting up camera shots. She's like, baby, I got this. Yeah. We're going to get you some jail time. We're going to get you the street cred. You can do
King of Diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this like AD said, where every night someone lays out his game wardrobe for him? So someone lays out, she lays out his outfit for the day, but this was his hard pass right here.
Look,
hard
pass. They're going to have a family trip to King of Diamonds down in Miami. with Rick Ross making it rain.
Future going to be like, what y'all doing here? Future going to be in there already.
All right, Darnell, it's time for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
All right, guys, so we all know it's graduation season, and I've been seeing a lot of caps and gowns all over social media this weekend. So I want to ask you guys, what advice would you give the college grads?
I think this is now more than ever, you know, self-made. Shout out Nipsey. Rest in peace, Nipsey. People are self-made this year, now in this age, so don't sit back and wait for someone to hand you something. Go out there and get it. You have your degree now. You're equipped for this world. If you're into something, go out there and treat it like a passion and make it come true.
I'm with you 100%. I truly believe your plan, there is no plan B if you strive to pursue your plan A with everything you have. And even if you don't achieve everything you desire as plan A, I guarantee failing to get to where you desire will be better than your plan B.
Preach, man. In the same spirit, they're all at a high right now. It's like before your first game in the NFL, NBA, you're 0-0, you're thinking about championships. You haven't taken the hits yet. You haven't taken the losses yet. Success is not linear. And the NFL PA just sent out this quote that I think that really applies to people who are so ambitious with the future in front of them. Failure is delay, not defeat. It is a detour, not a dead end. So y'all gonna fail a lot to get to where you want to go, but persevere.
My advice is one that I followed when I got to pursue your passion. Mm-hmm. Because if you pursue something you're passionate about, it won't feel like work. And so when I graduated from Ball State University, I wanted to be a high school sports writer. And I wanted to just be, I thought like, man, if I get to my 40s and I'm making $60,000, $70,000 a year, I got life lit. Mm. And I just pursued that every day. And I wasn't worried about being rich. I wasn't worried about being famous. I was just like, I'm gonna get to cover sports for a living. That would be fun. And so every day of work for me has been fun. It hasn't even been like I had a job. And then the other thing I would add a 2019 twist on it is create your own. Try to develop financial independence. Same point he's talking about with Nipsey. In terms of everybody's looking for someone to give them a job, go out and create a job for yourself. You be your own boss, if possible. That's where real happiness
is. And I have so much respect for college graduates that are not going to the pros like us. For a person like you, Whitlock, seriously, when you graduate and you get drafted, you're not into that abyss of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew where I was going. I knew the place. I knew how much I was going to make. I knew they were going to take care of me until I showed them something different. And just to see the droves of people who just got to go out there with the unknown, man.
Figure it out.
That is a lot. That is a daunting and scary proposition. I hope they make it work.
It's definitely a cold world. You know what I mean? I kind of felt like college was the last time you kind of had that security blanket in life. Now, you're an adult now. You know, like you said, that, you know, the path to success straight up. It's up and down, around, sideways, and you'll eventually get there. But like you said, do it with all your heart and find something you're passionate about and make it happen.
Greg Jennings and Rick Bucher are back. Let's move to San Francisco, where the 49ers showed no hesitation about drafting Nick Bosa a couple of weeks ago. Despite controversy swirling around the Ohio State star's social media activity, team president Al Guido said this weekend that the team spent no time worrying about Bosa's politics, and Bosa himself had already apologized for the tweets in question at his introductory press conference.
Me being here is even better for me as a person, because I don't think there's anywhere, any city that you could really be in that would help you grow as much as this one will. I'm going to be surrounded with people all different kinds, so I'm going to grow as a person. I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to learn a lot of new things.
All right, so that was Nick Bosa in San Francisco. The question is, do we like how he's handling the controversy? I'm going to let you start us off, Marcel.
Look, I did come out, you know, explain yourself, whatever that meant, while you're going through the job interview process. You know, I understand, be buttoned up and respond to it. But now, I don't like the fact that he's pandering now, just saying what we want to hear and not being genuine in his response. And also, don't like him continuing to double down on like he did something wrong. It's right. Your opinion,
right?
Okay? And this is my opinion as well. I've said this many a times. Beyonce has not been the same for 10 years. Go to her concert right now. They playing Single Ladies at the end. You know why? Because the music is not being the same. It's okay to say that. I don't understand where people go where the reaction makes you change your initial action. So, Nick Bosa, please just go back to either saying nothing or saying exactly how you feel. I'll take one or the other, not anything in between.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know who to trust here. Like, who is he? Who is he really? How does he really think?
21-year-old kid. You remember being 21, Rick?
Understood. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You didn't want to see me at 21. Yeah. I did not want to be doing interviews, for sure. No, I understand that. But we would also say that kids in this day and age, because of social media, have had to evolve more quickly in terms of what they're doing and what they're doing on social platforms. The funniest part of this for me is I live in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. The stadium is not in the Castro, okay? It's not in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's in the South Bay. And it's NFL fans that are going to be watching his games and following him. This idea that he's going to be exposed to this life and these people of different cultures and all of that because he's in the Bay Area, it's just like, stop it, please. You're a football player. Be who you are. If you learn from this experience, being in a different place, being in California, fine. But don't tell me like the transformation's already happened. This is so good for me. I'm going to become cultured and well-rounded. No, you're not. You're a great sacker of the quarterback. That's what you are. Right. Be that. If you catch something along the way, great. But I really don't care.
Yeah, I'm one of this. Don't apologize for what you truly believe to be just your truth.
Yeah.
And your feelings and your opinion, period. Hmm. That's what it is. People aren't going to agree with everything you say. They're not going to like everything you say. So don't try to appease everyone, especially right out the gate. I think it would have been better for him to just own it and say, you know what, if my opinion changes, then I'll let you know. But right now, my opinion is what it is.
Sure.
And until it does change, until I do experience different things, yes, maybe I may be open to other ways of thinking.
My issue there would be, if he is that kind of transparent and honest, now all of a sudden, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Al Guido, they're being asked questions.
Of course.
About his political position. It's just going to be a problem. The way the media is going to respond. And the way, again, the kid to me is being very smart. The Bay Area, wherever it's South Bay, North Bay, East Bay, West Bay, whatever Bay, it's all Silicon Valley control.
Okay.
And he's stepping in to the most PC-controlled environment in America, the Bay. And the Silicon Valley machine, their tech companies, their social media companies, if this guy doubles down on what he truly believes, those tech companies are coming after him. He has no choice but to pander, not for himself, but for all the people he's working for and putting them in the crosshairs of that group of people that are trying to censor and police thought.
You are giving the businesses of Silicon Valley way more credit for being culturally woke than they absolutely
Google,
deserve.
Facebook, Twitter,
yes,
Instagram.
They are about business first and foremost.
Oh.
First and foremost. They're not dictated
by... They're
about
point of view.
The point of view is what's my bottom line? And what do I...
Exactly.
And the point of view, what point of view is going to make my bottom line healthiest?
And they've decided you got to be woke.
No, you have to be in the middle. They have cut out the answer. Look, they cut out, if we're looking at Facebook, Facebook cut out the liberal, the extreme liberal, and now they've cut out
Not
the
true.
Extreme right wing.
Not
they
true.
Are standing in the middle. It's still, look, that, it is still about business. Ultimately, it's about business. And for Nick Bosa, he is in the football business.
And stay narrow-minded in that focus. And loosen up your collar. You got the damn job. Like, you didn't even play last year, basically, and got picked second overall. Like, it's okay.
As you should have.
As you should have, right? So now this is a moment when you're looking at it,
stop talking about the oxygen of the of San Francisco Bay and how osmosis will occur and culturally you'll internalize new values.
You know he was asked a question, Marcelo.
And you know
he
how
didn't
to
bring it out.
And
he
one thing we learned in media training, that's in the combines all the way through this
no
process.
No question about it.
I can change the question by my answer. Bingo. I don't need to hear what you said. It's about what I'm saying because you're interviewing me. Nick Bosa, I hope you handle them offensive tackles better than these questions because this is just digging himself a deeper hole in a different way.
The other part of it is, okay, so you're going to be exposed to change. All right, talk to me after the change has happened or something has happened. Right. Not, it's so great.
I hope
great,
he doesn't change.
And, well, whether he does or he doesn't, I just hope he finds himself. Like, and I don't want to get too holistic here, but just be who you are and be comfortable
I'm
in your own skin.
I'm a kid from Indianapolis, Indiana.
You are
Kansas
the most
City,
unique
Missouri.
Person, by the way, that I've ever met.
I'm a Midwest dude. I've been out here in California 10 years.
Yeah.
California has not changed me. Okay. California has actually made me double down on my Midwest values.
Okay.
These people are crazy.
Hold on. Somebody pre-show is taking green shots of, what is it?
There we go. The truth comes out.
Huh? Yeah. That's a girl. That ain't California.
You over here drinking stuff I've never drank. And I'm from L.A. Yeah.
So I hear what you guys are saying, but I just think if he doubles down and tells these people exactly what he thinks, all hell's going
to
break loose.
I'm about to say
all your buddies in the Bay, Scott Osler and all these guys will start shredding him. He ain't woke enough. And, oh, my God, how can San Francisco allow this?
You know, well, to his point, to
you
his point,
never
Jackson
yeah.
dealt with something of this in a different scope, but it's still in the same world of not being open to certain values
yes.
will come back to haunt you.
But
be
again,
real. Let's be real.
This is, again, it's the business. It's a unique organization. Happens to have a president, I mean, a team president who's gay.
Yes,
that's sir. Different
yeah.
than just taking a stand in that regard, as far as it becomes personal within the organization if we're talking about Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
Here's the reality for me. I grew up in the Midwest, too. I've lived
you
in
did?
The... Yes, Cincinnati, well, Ohio.
Oh, for... Oh.
Yes.
We're neighbors. Go I've, ahead. I didn't know
I
that.
Have...
You
I,
sold out. You came out here to California and sold
I have,
out.
And I sold out a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bottom line is, it's not as diverse as you think it is.
Nowhere is.
There are people...
Oh, no, there's no diversity in the Bay. They're all woke.
No, no, no.
They're all
no,
occupying
no, no.
something.
No, no, they're
trying
not.
Trying to overthrow
they're,
the government.
What you're hearing are the loudest voices. It's a lot like Twitter. It's the loudest voices, and then we define a place by those loudest voices. Mm, trust me,
true.
I have friends of mine who are Trump supporters, who are going to be Nick Bosa supporters because he's a MAGA guy. They live in the Bay Area. They're friends of mine. We may not necessarily agree on a lot of things, but the fact of the matter is, there is a very healthy conservative representation in the Bay Area and in the South Bay in particular.
Greg Jennings is back with us. Let's move to Tom Brady, who is gearing up for yet another run at a Super Bowl, but will do so as the most underpaid quarterback in the league with the lowest annual salary of any starter not on a rookie deal. But as Brady recently explained to Jimmy Kimmel, he's pretty satisfied with his current situation.
I think the thing I've always felt for me in my life, you know, winning has been a priority, and my wife makes a lot of money, so.
I see. Oh, good. That's good. That works out well.
I'm a little smarter than you think. It's a salary cap. Everyone, you know, you can only spend so much, and the more that, you know, one guy gets is less for others. And I think for a competitive advantage standpoint, I'd like to, you know, get a lot of good players around
me. I hope the Patriots appreciate that you do that. I really
do.
Tom Brady, you guys don't watch Game of Thrones.
No.
It's Jon Snow. He's married to Queen of Dragons, the mother of dragons. Love this. As I said a couple weeks ago.
You're wrong.
Giselle deserves credit for the Patriots' success. Tom Brady just backed me up.
No, she lucked up and married somebody who cares about winning more than anything else, because she could have married me and I gave a damn about winning. Money first and only. That was no haircuts needed when it came to me and my career. And there are different lanes of guys. I've seen guys who play for attention, accolades. I've seen guys go out there for winning only. And some guys like me just wanted to make the dough. How do you make the dough? Be the best you are. And she can't get credit because look at the timeline. They got married in 2009. They married for a year. They're on their honeymoon. And guess what Tom Brady does in 2010? Signs an extension to become the highest paid player in the NFL.
You're already with Giselle. That money already in. If y'all break up, divorce, you getting half of that. Guess what he did? He said, I'm going to get mine. So let's not give Tom Brady too much credit in the fact that he's always taking these hometown discounts. This is a guy who's already been to that mountain. It's okay at the back end of your career to take a little less to go out there in terms of winning.
You know what, Jason?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
I think it's a culmination of both. I think you have a guy who understands that the importance of winning and what it takes to have around him. But he also understands that I can afford to do this because my family doesn't really rely on me solely. Mm. Where a lot of athletes, a lot of us, our family relies on the income that we make. What we bring to the table is what will provide and give our families that longevity of wealth, if you will. And so I think what he's experiencing is something that most athletes will never experience. Celebrities experience on an everyday basis. Hmm. But athletes, they're the breadwinner. They feel like all the burden is on them. They don't have that counterpart that takes some of that weight off of them. He has that. And so I can't say that I've experienced that. And most can say that they haven't experienced that. So to say that she doesn't deserve some of the credit.
No, she doesn't.
No, she does. No, she definitely does.
It's just the fact that, look, she found someone.
Not at 5%.
No, zero. Because she could have married anybody who had a different mindset. His mindset was, I still want to be the highest paid player. After they're married, he still went out there and said, I have to be the highest paid player. It's easy to be charitable when you have excess. When you've already been the highest paid player for a decade or so, then you're like, okay, you know what? Let me take a little haircut for everyone else to win, and it looks like a greater story. But in reality, it's because that's just gravy on this train. Like, this guy's already been there in terms of the money and been there in terms of success. What keeps his longevity?
He ain't been there in terms of $35 million a year like Russell Wilson just got.
No.
And
he can't do that now.
But I also think this is why I say it's a culmination of both, because, yes, he's not the highest paid quarterback. He's not even one of the highest paid top 10, 12 players in the league. But when you look at what he can bring in an endorsement, there's so much money that he can make and that he does make outside of the sphere of football. But because of his status in football and what he's been able to accomplish, that he doesn't need to go to the New England Patriots and say, hey, this is my bottom line. Can you meet that? No, I don't need that.
But they have different situation up there. Look, it was reported that even the collective bargaining has come into of concern where he has his TB12 facility, and the Patriots are not only helping supposedly with giving him clients, but maybe the real estate for that as well. That came into conversation. Tom Brady's playing chess at a whole different level. He's like, I don't need this bottom line, just what this number is. Like you said, it's all the ancillary things that are being added to that equation.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's not his wife.
Okay, let me just, both of y'all are married and got plenty of experience. When you're playing a game of chess like Tom Brady is, and there's somebody, your wife, looking over your shoulder, don't move your rook there. Oh, you just gave up that pawn for no reason. You can't tell me that Giselle sitting around co-signing this decision because there's some other wives that are like, baby, you better go get that money. And it might be the right decision for them, because I love what Ciara and Russell Wilson have done. That's been the right decisions for them. But you have to give Giselle some credit.
Did she give him was she over the shoulder when he signed the highest deal? Because that was after they were married. Like, think about it. Like, you don't get married the day you meet somebody, so they've been together for a year or so, whatever that
may be. But what you're saying is based on something that was already going to happen. Like, he was already going to be the highest player, but, like, that was in his future already, even prior to them.
But the deal has expired, and he could have still been higher than 18th in the NFL.
He could have been.
And why is he not?
Because he cares about winning, but also there's no necessary reason for him to have to do that, because at home, I don't have to be I'm not the bread. Even if I was the highest paid player in the National Football League, I still wouldn't be the breadwinner in my house.
And so why? I agree. Why in 2010 are you still saying I got to be the highest paid player if you know you're already married to somebody making more money than you? If this was his agenda from day one, I would understand that.
Had he been in a relationship before?
Hmm?
Has he been in a relationship before prior to this?
Man, don't count that.
No, I'm just asking because
the baby's the same age. Don't
all,
do that.
All I'm saying is because sometimes you don't know what the future holds, so you gotta make sure.
And he protect and himself. You're arguing his agent's Don Yee. You're arguing that Don Yee and Tom Brady went, I gotta be the highest paid. I think in 2010, the relationship he had with Bob Kraft, where he was at as a player, I think the Patriots wanted to make him the highest paid player. They felt like he deserved that. He had earned that. They gave it to him. And who's going to say no to that? Now when they come to him at a later part in his career, when he's not as physically dominant,
right,
and he's in a different space and you need more pieces around him to be successful, he's able to be in a different mindset because his wife is right there with him.
And TB12's right there on his head. And I'm that hat that he's wearing, he's like, well, take care of my facility. I'll take
Yeah, but I'll add
off.
This too. When players get extended career shelf life, we have a tendency to overvalue ourselves from a price point.
Yo.
What Tom Brady has understood is, and he still understands, as long as I remain where I'm at and keep performing at the level, I'm not giving them a reason to push me out because I'm asking for too much.
True.
That's I'm staying true. In my lane, I'm performing, and I'm still being paid. Plus, I have a wife who is the breadwinner, so I don't need a whole lot from them, but I still want to play. So they're still giving me something that I really want, which is to play the game of football.
The thing I like about Brady and Russell Wilson, and I say this and people think it sounds callous or whatever, but marriage is the original business decision. Mm. It's the original business partnership. And a lot of people don't look at it that way. They marry solely for love, which is fleeting. They marry, oh, she looks good, or blah, blah, fleeting. It's a business decision. Mm. They make good ones. Uncle Jimmy's here. Help us with our approval rating. What are your thoughts on the show so far, Uncle Jimmy?
Hey, but let's go on and get to this. Let's go, all right, real quick, let's get to the big dummy of the day.
Yeah.
The big dummy of the day just got done saying marrying a supermodel is a business decision. I think that's called out kicking your coverage, but you call it what you want to.
That's great business.
You
right?
straight, you straight dumb for that, bro.
Oh, all right, well. Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier.
He don't even get it.
Nothing.
About Steph Curry. As Kevin Durant's pursuit of LeBron James has amped up, he doesn't bend to the Golden State system as much as he used to, and that's not good for Steph Curry.
He looks like a guy who's already departed, so what is he doing? He's giving them all the buckets. So when he leaves, no one could ever say that he shortchanged them in that process.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, we had a good discussion about Kevin Durant taking up all the spotlight from Steph Curry. Anyway, what's your take?
Normally, I stand up here and tell you what Steph is. Today, I'm going to tell you what Steph ain't.
All right.
Let me tell you what he ain't. Steph ain't an Arthur Fonzarelli.
Are you going happy days on us?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look here, first of all, let me tell you rule number one of success in business. You don't never let another star come on your show and outshine you.
All right.
That's rule number one.
Yeah.
See, you know, that a lot of people thought Happy Days, people didn't know Fonzie was running Happy Days. All right? You remember Mork from Ork?
Mork from Ork.
Come in, Ork.
Robin Williams.
Nano Nano?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he first appeared on Happy Days in February of the fifth season of 1979.
I think it was 1978. Right. Go ahead.
78, 79.
What?
Yep.
6 months later in September, Mork had his own show. Mm. See, Fonzie realized, you ain't stealing my shine. Get your ass out of here. Laverne and Shirley came on, got a couple of laughs.
Yep.
Fonzie checked it out. Oh, hell no. Nah. Y'all's ass out of here. Get y'all's own show.
Jemai.
And take them little weird-ass friends with you. What their name, Licky and Squiggy?
Iggy.
Take them with you.
Iggy.
Lenny and Squiggy, yeah.
Take them with you. Then, wait a minute, wait. Think it's an isolated incident, right? You ain't follow me yet. His little cousin, Chachi. Everybody loved Chachi. Chachi grew up, started getting kind of big. He walk on the set, everybody be like, woo!
Yep.
Fonzie looked at him.
Why?
Get your ass off this show. take Joni with you.
Yes.
Talk about Joni love Chachi. It wasn't about ego. Now that was a business decision.
That was.
See, that's how Steph should have handled KD when he first got there. What?
It wasn't no way Steph's supposed to, it ain't no way KD's supposed to walk on Steph's team and shine like he did. Mm. Should have sent his ass packing when he got into it with Ralph Mouth on the bench earlier in the year. When him and Draymond got right, into it. Should have sent his ass packing then.
Right.
Hey, man, let me tell y'all something, man. On the for real, y'all don't get this. Fonzie was so cold, he sent Richie to the Army. Snap his fingers, pow-yah! Had Richie's mama and sister up there cooking him hamburgers, serving him french fries. That's why Fonzie gonna always get more respect on the streets than Steph. Mm. Fonzie was about that life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Truth of the matter is, speaking of somebody else who's about that life. Hey, well, the real question, pretty soon, you know, Uncle Jimmy gonna have to get his own show.
I knew it. Here we go.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, we gonna call it
Speak for Yourself with Uncle Jimmy. You see what I'm saying? That's what you need to do. I ain't trying to outshine nobody.
Really?
You know, I'm trying to stay in my lane.
You're just bringing this up for nothing?
Yeah. I'm just letting you know, hey, you think Colin Cowherd wouldn't like to have some of these jokes?
You got a co-host.
All right, we got to get to our approval rating for Steph Curry. Mm. This is kind of interesting. I got Steph rated at a 78 in All-Star.
All right.
14 in job performance, 23 in all-time greatness. He's got two MVPs. He's transformed the game. 24 in character. He's virtually flawless. Authenticity, I'll give him a 17 because he's probably not virtually flawless.
Damn.
I love what you just did there.
Tongue twisted.
Hey, I'm with you everywhere except in character. Adversity reveals character. It's not the first time he faced adversity. He didn't succeed in that last time. A couple years ago in the playoffs, he's facing adversity again. I'm undecided, so right in the middle. I split 25 and a half. Give him 12. Why you got some high? Why you got some high?
67. That's kind of low.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.